Kirsten Kennedy is one of those DFL candidates. She is the mayor of North Branch. She's a mother of five. She holds a master's in advocacy and political leadership. And Kirsten Kennedy joins us now. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So tell us about your background. Tell us about your story and what led you to politics.
Well, first, I wasn't born, and I've decided that someday I was going to grow up, go into politics. It was actually never on my radar. I am born in Norway, American-raised daughter of a Norwegian immigrant. My father's Norwegian. My mom's American. I was born in Norway. He was still serving military duty in Norway, and he came to the United States and was given veteran status. So I was raised between Stacy, Minnesota, living on Fawn Lake, and then Orange County, California, where my mom stayed after the divorce. My dad married a woman, Kathy, from White Bear Lake, and they're still married. And our family farm here in Minnesota is in Stanchfield. And I've been living back in Minnesota as an adult since I was about 31 years old. I will be 54 soon.
So tell us a little bit about running for mayor of North Branch and being the mayor, about the community, what things you've been working on there.
I will. So I got involved first in community organizing. We had a city council that wanted to contract out our police department. And I always tell people once you do that, it really is difficult to ever go back to have your own PD. And we have 38 plus square miles in North Branch, and we have a population that continues to grow every year, and it did not make economic sense to me or community sense to me, and so fought hard, and we saved the North Branch Police Department. And I really liked organizing part. The reason I got involved in running for office is I recognize the need as a parent of five children in our community for more investment and more access to school funding and more access to development and becoming a green community. And so I ran for office, and I'm serving my second term, and we have done a lot in the past years. The first 2 years was difficult. I had a hostile council. The past 2 years have been great. We have the largest solar project, the North Star Solar Project in the Midwest. We have 1,000 acres. It is up and running. It goes onto the grid for XL. It has restored prairie underneath. That is the largest restored prairie land in the Midwest, and that's important for our pollinators. We as a city committed to becoming a Green Step city, which means we understand that climate change is real and must be faced. And that if we don't work on our infrastructure and how we build out from now on, it will be difficult when the extreme weather comes for us to cope with it. As with many cities, our infrastructure is crumbling. Some of our sewer systems underneath our streets are 80-plus years old. And my motto is this: we either maintain, repair, or restore. And as with many cities in our district, we're at the replace. And so we made a commitment to start working on that in this past year. We've had proposed about 600 units coming into our city. 49 of those units will be affordable housing for workforce housing for families that struggle with a housing choice. And then that I'm most proud of is we are doing for our entire 7E counties, a 20-unit single apartment living, 16 of those units of supported living that will be managed by Canvas Health. 16 are for people with long-term chronic mental health issues, and then 4 apartments are for long-term homelessness. And that's a big deal in our area because, as with many parts of outside the city, Minnesota, greater Minnesota, East Central, all the way up to International Falls, access to mental health care and taking care of people that have chronic issues is few and far between. People can't pay copays. They don't have good safety nets to actually work with people that have those issues. And so it's pretty miraculous that North Branch is the place where we will have our first And frankly, I think we could probably do 10 in our region and not have enough for our citizens.
If you win District 8 and you represent the citizens of District 8 when you go to Washington, you're going to represent people that have a lot of different views on things, and they're complex views. I know national media, Twin Cities media, even they tend to make it black and white when it comes to things like copper nickel mining. It's jobs or it's the environment, and that's it.
Well, I think one of the greatest lessons is actually when I was elected the first time mayor, I was with, it was 3-2 progressives. It is a nonpartisan race, so it really gave me the opportunity to learn how to lead and learn how to bring everyone to the table. And this past election, the citizens said, we want more of the direction our city's going. Relationship. In my own Minnesota, I have two brothers, one's 42 and one's 43, that actually registered to vote for the first time in their life and cast votes for President Donald Trump. And while it was not a pretty Christmas at the Hagen farm, my dad is very Norwegian. The bottom line is this, it's unpacking the reasons that people feel like they're not being heard, they don't have opportunities, that something is passing them by. And so to unpack it, you're right, it is complex. It's not as simple as I'm just drawing this line in the sand. And my line will always be human rights, putting kids in cages. No, we do something about it. But as far as drawing a line in the sand saying I won't work with people or I won't sit down with people or listen and learn, it will never happen with me. I will listen, learn, and try to bring everyone along in our district because I understand that we are 27,000 plus square miles, and that brings unique properties and needs to our entire district. So what we have, our issues at the southernmost port in Wyoming, may not be the issues we have in International Falls, but there are threads that go through every part of our district. For instance, 5 of the 10 poorest counties in all of Minnesota are in the 8th district. So while we have pockets where people have really great incomes and really great jobs, we are sprinkled with pockets of poverty. And so sometimes I think that poverty is not as blaring as seeing many homeless people in the streets. It's more people sleeping on couches. It's more school districts not being able to get funding for what they need because we can't hit that 50% free and reduced lunch. I know that we have that. It's getting people to say, we need this, and that they are proud. They want to be able to do things on their own. They just want what they need to go about their lives. And working towards that and recognizing that we are a whole bunch of neighborhoods put together in this vast district is taking a comprehensive look at the entire district and then meeting cities and counties where they're at, and then helping them to move forward.
You know, I took a look at your website, votekirsten.com, and you've got some blog posts there. And I wonder if we could talk a little bit before we go about the post you did about the Me Too movement. You know, it was such a huge media coverage of that, Time's Up, and it was part of the national conversation. Now that we're getting close to election time, you don't hear about it quite as much. What do you think about that? What do you think how it impacts the voters, the people living in District 8?
I think it impacts, if we're honest, everyone, right? Everyone has a mom. Everyone has a brother. Everyone is part of a family. I think what this is, it's once again this complex issue of what people think is acceptable or what has been acceptable. It is the re-victimization of people coming forward or people staying silent because they still want to work in politics or they want to be able to participate in their communities. And no one, and I'm speaking from personal experience, wants being a victim to be part of their story. But I always tell, so I have 5 children, 2 girls and 3 boys, you must always speak up. If it comes to someone else being harmed, you don't stand there and be silent. You don't participate in it. And if you screw up, you make it right. And I think that we're starting to have a national conversation, and one even within our own parties and our communities, is that time is up. What that means is that we have to speak up, we have to listen, we have to believe people, but most importantly, we have to take concrete steps to actually change the culture, which means having a policy that people read, not enough. Making sure that we have a zero tolerance policy for people that are using their positions of power or their positions of leadership to harm others that they actually have some power over is not okay. And I understand that sometimes people say, well, it's just, I've heard this a lot, boys being boys, or it's time to grow up for all of us. And so how I plan to address it on my campaign and in office is making sure that from the top down, because that's where it goes at the end of the day, if it happens on, let's say, a campaign site I have, or it happens in the office, the buck stops with me. And we have to be clear with people that surround us what is acceptable and not acceptable, and we have to just say, we're going to change things, right? Everyone has a sister or daughter or is a brother or dad or mom. No one wants it to happen. It's just getting us the education and the openness to deal with this messy, complex subject.
That is DFL candidate Kirsten Kennedy. She's running for the District 8 congressional seat. You can find more information at votekirsten.com. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.